Acts 13 is where we left off last Sunday afternoon. It's the launch of Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, this missions group that is going to go out from the church there at Antioch, as we saw last week. And go down to verse number 13, because last week, as we'll recap in a moment, we had a conversation about Bar-Jesus or Elymas the sorcerer and the conversion that was there. But the emphasis on it was while the church was already serving God and seeking God, the Spirit of God spoke and He sent. That's still how it works today. You serve God, doing what you know to do, where you ought to be doing it, while you're seeking God for the next peace, the next leading, and He will speak and He will send. God is always calling and sending if we are listening and if we are busy where we already are. But I wanted to add to this story as Paul takes off for another area with Barnabas and John Mark. And we're not going to visit it today, but John Mark at some point here turns back and heads for home. But Acts 13, verse 13, says, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. And when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." I mean, that was pretty customary for them. They were going to regret doing it with Paul sitting there. Verse number 16, "Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of his people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. With an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. When he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. But they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets, Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." We'll stop there. I know it was a lengthy passage, especially on a Sunday afternoon. We just have a few verses. But I just wanted to give us that reading of this opportunity that Paul seizes upon to be a witness for Christ. But I look at just some observations, not really a sermon, just some observations, some thoughts about how he went about it. And just try to get us to think a little bit this afternoon in the days ahead, that as we witness to different people, it might take different approaches, although the message is always the same, that not everybody is won by or meant to be won by the Romans Road. not against the Romans in and of itself, but to try to just get us to think in the days ahead about becoming knowledgeable, have a working knowledge of the scriptures where we can guide men to Christ different ways, always through the same message. But let's just pray and we'll get into this. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for what we've already had in the house of God today, the special music, the congregational singing, the preaching, the testimony of these dear missionaries. And I pray you just meet with us in the balance of our time left, that we'd be challenged, we'd be encouraged by the scriptures to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ wherever you send us, wherever your path leads us. God, that we'd have another generation arise that serves you and seeks your face, and then listens as the Spirit speaks and sends out men for Christ and women for Christ to be a witness around this world. God, help us to be busy for you right here at home, that we be a gospel witness to our neighbor, to our coworker, to our loved ones, to our friends. But God, that we would be challenged by these thoughts to get to know the scriptures, to find Christ pictured in several passages in different ways, that we could lead men to Christ efficiently and do it through the scriptures and the Spirit of God's leading. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll try to explain a little bit as we get down into this, but it's the first missionary journey of Paul. Rube, you're done. You understand me? I'm not trying to be mean. You talk the whole morning service, you're not going to talk the whole afternoon service. You understand me? Okay, I'll do that to my daughter. And she's the only one talking at the moment, for everybody else's sake. But here, Paul and Barnabas and John Mark have sailed from Antioch in Syria, where they were sent out of, into that island on that map of Cyprus. Talks about that journey they make across the island. They're in the Mediterranean Sea there, from Salamis all the way to Paphos. The deputy or the governor, we looked at it last week, is why I'm just going quickly, was converted despite the antagonism of Bar-Jesus, Elymas the sorcerer, and how there's always opposition to the gospel message trying to spread. And how Paul had a desire to see men converted, but Paul also had a boldness where there was someone who was not just curious or had a disagreement but was quiet about it. Someone was an open, defiant antagonist to the gospel. Paul boldly set eyes upon him and said, "That's enough." And Bar-Jesus is cursed with blindness and goes his way. And we talk about the four SWs of soul winning, an outline that I heard years and years ago, Brother Glendy Hamilton out of Florida, on some will, some won't, so what? Someone else is still waiting. About being a gospel witness for Jesus Christ, not getting hung up on just any one stage that we have had folks saved, so that's good enough. We shall always be pressing forward. But not getting hung up on those antagonists and those rejecters of the gospel. We ought to have our heart broken for them. We ought to try to be a witness to them, but not get so discouraged that we don't go on to witness to somebody else, because there's still somebody waiting for a gospel witness. Amen. After that, we get into our text where they leave and they sail into Perga. Or from what I have read, that modern day coastal are located similar to that in Turkey. They travel up into Antioch, Pisidia, which is that southwest portion there of Turkey. And as you follow Paul's journey into the book of Acts, I think we notice some things. One being he selected strategic cities and planted churches in those strategic cities. And then he'd go out from those churches or send others out from those churches to evangelize the surrounding areas. Not saying that we discredit the scriptures or the Spirit's leading. He did it because he was led of the Spirit. But I think it's worth some study there another day perhaps about the strategic places he planted churches and people were sent out from there. But as we read in our passage here, he would enter the synagogue almost always and they would sit and they would listen. Paul, Barnabas here, John Mark, he ends up turning back, going back to Jerusalem, but they're sitting there listening as different portions of the scripture, perhaps out of the books of Moses, portions of the Old Testament. And then when it was done, they would all kind of open it up at different times, especially to guest speakers, if you will. Paul being recognized as one such man. And says, anyone that has any comments or any explanation, any commentary, any teaching they'd like to share. And Paul took advantage of it. Paul said, they're going to give me an opportunity to speak for Christ. I'm going to speak a word for Christ. And I do like the fact that he would always go to the synagogues there. And you understand Paul's heart. He had a love for his own people. God was going to use him to open the gospel up and to take the gospel, which has always been open, but take the gospel to the Gentile world like it had never been taken and spread before. But he was very burdened about reaching his own people as well. But as you go through this, this is what I want to just observe without reading down through it, because if we were to come up, many of our church that are active soul winners in your workplace, in the store, as you go about your normal routine of life, you're trying to be a gospel witness, and you were to come up and give us your gospel presentation or your gospel spiel, for most of us it would sound very different than Acts 13. And I'm not saying that it should be an exact replica of Acts 13. But the picture here that Paul does is he gives them that short recap of their history. He gives them that history of Israel, which was that particular topic or theme he started with. It would get the audience's attention. It would capture at least the favor of the Jewish people there in the synagogue. They'd at least give him ear. He goes through to David, who is the hero of the Jewish people. The pride of every Jew is David the king and the great feats that he wrought. And he goes from him through the promised seed of David, and he leads them through the journey up to the presentation of Jesus Christ crucified and risen again. Paul, obviously being well-versed and well-studied compared to any modern-day perhaps scholar that is out there, the way he was brought up through the education system, but also being led by the Spirit, understanding perhaps that if I started at the ladder, L-A-T-T-E-R, climbing a ladder in the synagogue, but if I started at where I finished and just said, here's Jesus, take Jesus, and they don't know Paul, they have no relationship with Paul and Barnabas, no reason to believe Paul and Barnabas, they don't understand where he's coming from, he just said, here's Jesus, which is what he wanted to do, instead of starting out on this journey, getting building rapport and respect and getting their attention, they would have closed their ears initially. It's the art or the power of persuasion. Not where we are forcing, but be able to take a truth and to guide it around another person's mental roadblocks. And I'm not against going out banging on a door, and as soon as they open the door, saying, I talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's fine. But as we said last week, and I wanted to say again, salvation is not selling used cars.
That's right.
It is not where I have a slick enough pitch that I can get someone to capture their train of thought and convince them by the end that this is in your best interest, so repeat this after me.
That's right.
Salvation is not humanism.
That's right.
It is literally battling the forces of dark. And we need the Scripture and the Spirit to do the work.
Right.
But part of that is being sensitive to the Spirit's leading on how to reach different people.
Right.
And I'm not an expert on it. Myself, Pastor Christensen, I mean, I was supposed to be a missionary in Africa. He's going to be a missionary to Israel. And we're both pastoring in rural Maine. Spirit leads where he wants. And has done different things. So I don't have years of experience traveling the world, but I think we heard the missionary reference it this morning about where they are. And their desire is to witness, is to tell people the Lord Jesus Christ, but it does take building relationships with people.
Right.
It takes reaching different people different ways.
Right.
You're talking about Pastor Chuck Barnes, who has spent 6 decades in this state, goes and starts a church down on Mount Desert Island, and has taken him 4 or 5 years to get his core group together, get a church founded, because he's from away. And that's part of Maine. But it's just different culture on the island, different approach. And it's reaching people different ways. It's just trying to get us to think on these things. Keeping it simple. I understand this isn't your typical message that you're used to hearing necessarily, but just reminders or observations that we don't have to come up with the message.
Right.
We're just the delivery boy.
Right.
Paul covers the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. If you look at Acts chapter 13, if you're there, verse number 24, he obviously covers all of the key points of a gospel presentation, as we would call it. When he said, when John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. You got repentance in there. No repentance, there's no conversion. The viewing of self the right way. That I must agree with God about who I am and about my sin. Verse number 26, he actually says it twice. But he says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. I'm just showing you the message here is the same that we would give somebody. The idea of repentance, I'm viewing myself the right way. The idea of fearing God, I'm viewing God the right way. The answer, verse number 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, that Jesus Christ is man's only chance of forgiveness. Verse number 39, for David, after he had served his own generation, verse 39, and by him all that believe are justified from all these things, that salvation is through faith alone. Verse number 40, he gives them warnings about the false teachers and perverted gospels that are out there. Verse number 41, he caps it off about the danger of not believing or rejecting the gospel. So the message is always the same. Repentance and faith leads to forgiveness through Jesus Christ. But while the message is always the same, I just want to keep saying it and saying it so it just makes us think into this week and the days ahead. There is different approaches to working with different people. Paul here, he goes and uses the Old Testament. I know there's out there say, well, that's Old Testament. We're New Testament Christians, all Scripture. is given by inspiration and is profitable.
Right.
Paul goes back there in chapter 13, verse 33, and quotes Psalms 2:7. 13:34, he quotes Isaiah 53:3. 13:25, he references Psalm 16:10. Now, we say, what are you saying? Paul had a working knowledge of the Scriptures, obviously, and a well-versed repertoire of information stored up of history. There's over 300 passages or references, I've been told, in the New Testament of Old Testament Scriptures. That's a lot. So you say, what are you saying? We ought to be a gospel witness. Yes, but I say, we ought to get, is creative the wrong word? We ought to be students of the Scriptures. Where I don't just have to say, well, let me take you to Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the book of Romans. It's in the Scriptures for a reason. But you, if you're a pastor Christensen, Amos Christensen, let's say he ends up in Israel one day as a missionary. You might not win a lot of Jews quoting Romans. I mean, they were controlled and dictated by the Romans for a long time. Not saying the Scriptures cannot do their job. They certainly can. But he is, for being a young guy, has a, he's not a master of it, though he would say he is not, but has an intense, deep knowledge of the Old Testament. Because he knows he would have to use that to build a platform and lead men through their own history, through the Scriptures, to the revealing of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So what I'm saying is, I would like to do it sooner rather than later. So I'm just presenting it to the church this afternoon, but just some thoughts, is to start a weekly Bible class coming up. I know we have Wednesday night, I'm all for that. But where we have a survey or a study of the Old Testament Scriptures, leading into a survey or a study of the New Testament Scriptures, the different books of the Scriptures that we might, for those that need it, which is probably all of us, to hone in, to practice, to be familiar with, have a working knowledge of the Scriptures. Where we can cross-reference. I can go and pull up supporting texts, or depending on who you're witnessing to, I could take them to an Old Testament scripture or example and give them a picture of Jesus Christ and lead men to Christ. One, I think it would benefit us spiritually if we had a working knowledge of the Bible. Right. It's what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. He had the Spirit and the Scriptures, and it's how he always did battle. And it would help us, but it would help other people if we can guide them and respond to their rebuttals or to respond to their questions with truth.
Right.
And I'm not saying that people here can't. And I know we have about half a crowd here today. So I'll ask them another day, week when the other half is here as well. Could you win me to Christ without using the book of Romans? I'm not saying you could. I'm just asking to make us think. That if I was to have to come up and give someone a gospel message without quoting a verse out of Romans, could I do it? Again, I'm not. I hope the vibe or the message I'm sending is not that I'm against the book of Romans. I think all scriptures by inspiration. I think it is vital. It is important. The gospel message is clear in Romans, like every other book. But you're not going to win everybody with the Romans road.
Right.
But Paul did was he stuck with the context of the scriptures he was dealing with. He let the scriptures, the Psalms, Isaiah here, as we would know it, Acts 13, outline and define itself. He didn't pull out of context and wrestle with scriptures because it fit his agenda, what he was trying to do. Could we go to 1 John for a minute? And this is all the only place we'll go to because I just want to give you one example of this. And again, I'm not against those that use 1 John 5:13. It's in the Bible. It is profitable. It is necessary, or God wouldn't have put it in the Bible. But almost every person I have personally soul winning with, and I was personally trained this in soul winning, starts with 1 John 5:13. Which says this: these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. One of the most well-used verses in gospel presentations to convince people that you can know through the scriptures that there is salvation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And then where do we typically go? Romans chapter 3. I'm not saying you should not occasionally do that. What I'm saying is when John penned down under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, these things have I written unto you, he was not referencing Romans. He was referencing 1 John 1, 2, 3, and 4, as we would call it. So it's just to make us think, to make us students of the scriptures, that we would go home, each one of us, and say, could I, just using the book of 1 John, win somebody to Christ? Or if I needed to go back into the Old Testament law and show a Jewish person their history and the pictures, could I do it? And then if we can't, then we are know there's areas to shore up. For instance, if you go to 1 John chapter 1, here'd be one of the things that he said, these things have I written. 1 John chapter 1, Verse number 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. It's a recognition that there's those that are searching for joy. There's that crowd searching for healing, for help, for that wholeness. Verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He says those that are seeking for this wholeness, for this joy, let's start by talking about the wholeness, the holiness of God, the right view of God.
Amen.
Verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He clearly then gives them a part of this teaching or this writing that not everyone is a child of God. You've got to get lost before you can get found. 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. He gives them fruits of being a child of God. Verse number 8 of the same chapter. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. What are these things that John penned down? There's those that are searching for joy. How are we going to get there? By having the right view of God. By having the right view of ourselves. By repentance and faith. Admitting and agreeing, confessing with God about who and what I am. Agreeing, confessing with God about sin. 1 John 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It's the same exact message that Paul gave in Acts chapter 13. The viewing of self the right way, the viewing of God the right way, repentance and faith. That Jesus Christ is the only remedy, 1 John 2. He's the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice that satisfies the wrath of God for the world.
Right.
So again, I'll just use that as one example that salvation is only found one way, through Jesus Christ, through repentance and faith in Christ. But there are many paths or passages, different pictures of the same truth. It's just a challenge. That's all I wanted to share, just to get us to think for the days ahead. That am I familiar with the Scriptures? Could I, if the need arise, deal with people different ways? And again, if you're saying, I haven't had a lot of training, I really don't know a lot of what you're talking about, I'm not familiar with the Scriptures like I should be, give them the Romans Road then. Give them the Scriptures you do know. Give them your own testimony. There was a man that said, I can't tell you a whole lot. What I can tell you is I was blind and now I see.
Amen.
Just tell them what Jesus did for you. I'm for all that. What I'm saying is I want to offer an opportunity. I want to go forward and look at it as a church that could we make ourselves a student of and knowledgeable of the Scriptures, where we understand the results are not up to us. Again, some will, some won't. So what? Someone else is waiting. Having that mentality, engaged in the warfare, but like Paul did, have a working knowledge of a history of the Scriptures where I can lead men and different groups of men to Christ different ways. With the Scriptures in context, with the Scriptures just defining and outlining themselves, repentance and faith in Christ. That's literally 22 minutes.